Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll be following the words of the epistle lesson for the day, the words of St. Paul in the book of Ephesians. My dear Christian friends, do you know how fortunate and blessed you are? You may not have won the Illinois lottery, but you are the richest people on the face of the earth. You may not have earned a PhD, but you are wiser than any unbelieving philosopher or scientist on earth. You may not have the paparazzi hounding you and your every move, but be assured that there are angels that are following you and chasing after you. Angels from on high. And even though you live in the richest country on the face of the earth, it doesn't compare to the true riches that you truly have. You have all of these things. But sometimes I think we say, yeah, right, really. Are you so sure? You see the society around you go further and further into godlessness, and you think, what good is it being a Christian in this world today? You feel like sometimes your life is stuck in park. Spiritually, it doesn't seem that you're getting any closer to your God at times. And their home life maybe doesn't have a whole lot of pizzazz. It's not always easy, is it, to see how fortunate and how blessed we really are. William Cowper knew that. He was so distraught by his life, he decided to end it. So he got on his horse and he went out onto a bridge on the River Thames to a place that he knew that he could jump and be certainly killed. Unfortunately, there happened to be a couple of lovebirds at that same spot that night, enjoying a romantic moonlit evening. So he went home, and he went into the kitchen to grab a knife, and he jabbed the knife into his chest, and the knife broke. So furious about the whole thing, he took a cord of rope, went out in the back, strung up a noose, and when he kicked that proverbial can out from underneath him, the branch broke. Some people would say that William Cowper was pretty lucky. Others might say he was pretty unlucky. But we know that God's amazing grace leaves no room for luck. Welcome to the book of Ephesians, written by the missionary St. Paul, who at the time of this writing was in prison under house arrest. Some say that Paul logged probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 25,000 miles, a lot of that on foot, carrying the gospel from country to country and people to people. And yet at this particular time, he was stuck with nowhere to go. And yet, he takes the time, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to pen an exquisite masterpiece about God's amazing grace in the lives of his children. And he invites you and me to believe that every moment of our life is not determined by luck, but is guided by God's amazing grace. So what blindness does Satan have covering your eyes that you can't see all of the blessings that belong to you? God be praised if you've never gotten to the point of William Cowper. But I believe all of us have to admit that there are days when we really feel lost and we really feel a lot of hopelessness. So listen, as Paul tells us that God's amazing grace leaves no room for luck in our lives. The Father, he says, first of all, plans our salvation. Sin has a way of really messing up our lives. We all know that. When we recall our failures, When we find ourselves caught in sin, we can feel the guilt piling up inside. And it's safe to say that many of the problems that come into our lives really are a result of us not dealing properly with guilt. In a correspondence with a gentleman this past week, he told me that once he reasoned that homosexuality wasn't a sin, he could really find his true identity as a gay person. That stopped me in my tracks, as it should all of us, because I could only think of how many times that I've used the same justification for the things that I think about or the things that I do. But no one has a right to justify any sin. And there is really no peace in life where you try to justify your sinfulness. When the force of the law of God works on our hearts and makes us restless and leads us to helplessness, Paul invites us to turn today to that amazing grace of God, but he doesn't take us to the cross. Instead, he takes us into the hallowed chambers of the council room of God, where Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are sitting, planning and prepping and preparing the salvation of all mankind. And we call this the doctrine or the teaching of election. Paul says, "For he chose us," and that means he picked us out. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with the pleasure of his will, to the praise of a glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. The doctrine of election teaches us about God's mind and heart and will, which prompted him to choose disgusting sinners like us to be his own. It wasn't because he looked in the future and saw that we would believe. It wasn't because he saw something inherently good in any of us. It isn't because he thought we were more susceptible to coming to faith. If that were so, then grace wouldn't be grace anymore. When you and I are inclined to ask ourselves, "Why, Lord, did you choose me?" Paul says, go back. Go back to that council chamber and look to see God who says, "I chose you in love. And I chose you according to my pleasure and will." No luck involved in there. That's all the Father's planning. And he also says that he predestined us. An interesting word. It means that God, in eternity, put a boundary around me. I'm kind of a Star Trek fan. I kind of like the idea of that force field. That force field that keeps all the enemies out. And God says, "You belong to me and no one else." That's the way that God did his planning for me. And the goal of all this is so that you and I can be adopted as his sons. Someone jokingly said that his mama had to love him because he was her own flesh and blood. You and I lost that image of God no longer like him. And yet God, by planning and preparing salvation, chose us to be adopted, to be a welcomed member of his family with all the benefits of being in that family. There's no room for luck there. He's lifted me out of the dumps, and he's told me all of these glorious blessings. They truly belong to you because I've planned it that way. But someone might ask that good question, how do I know if I'm one of God's elect? The answer, he says, is found in Jesus. When you read that or heard that text read, did you hear how many times the name Jesus came up? Paul takes us out of that inner council chamber of the Trinity and takes us down to a bloodstained timbers on a hill called Calvary. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. The forgiveness of sins, the blood of Jesus poured out for sins. That's how I know I'm one of God's elect. William Cowper gave up trying to kill himself that night. In desperation, he grabbed a Bible and began to read, and read over and over again that his sins were forgiven. St. Paul calls this a wonderful mystery, not in the sense that it is so profound that we can't comprehend it, but rather we can't comprehend it by ourselves. Our sinful intellect cannot concoct a plan to get right with God that doesn't include our own doing. But this mystery is, and that God reveals to us, is that we are saved by God's doing. And in our world of confusion and disharmony and the sickness of sin, when it seems like being a child of God is no great thing, or at those times when it seems like the Lord is so far from us, you and I are invited to remember the blood of Jesus, because it washed the world and it washed you and me. And by this act, Jesus takes his place as the ruler of all. And until the end of time, we can be assured that he who died for us is also the one who continues to pour out the blessings of that shed blood. That each and every day I am reminded of my forgiveness. Each and every day I am reminded of a Savior who loves me so much that he guides my life, he plans my life, he purposes my life. He gives me all of the wonderful blessings that we've talked about. Jesus doesn't want us to get caught up in sadness, in a life that seems stuck in park, or in a life that just is spinning its wheels. He gives us a life that is purposed, a life in which he pours out all of his blessings to his glory. Friends, it isn't luck that put you here in a pew today. And it wasn't luck that led William Cowper to pick up a Bible that day. When he did, it changed his life. It renewed his life. He went on to become a minister. And beyond that, he was a prolific hymn writer. And in one of his hymns, he says, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." Lose all their guilty stains. God's amazing grace leaves no room for luck. I can be certain of it because Jesus shed his blood for me, and that's how I know that I am one of God's children. But so we don't lose sight of this amazing grace, Paul teaches us that the Holy Spirit is also active in that grand plan, because the Spirit secures our inheritance. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Paul plays on a couple of words here, on we and you, and reminds us that that congregation in Ephesus was made up of two very diverse groups, Jews and Gentiles, who were able to sit next to each other in a pew, realizing that that same glorious grace of God applied to each, just as you can look at the person next to you and can see someone who is identified as one touched by God's grace. And he brought us together on the basis and through the power of his word and his sacrament. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He is our faith bringer. But more than just our faith bringer, he is also a mark on us. He is a deposit guaranteeing our salvation until the day when we will become God's possession for all eternity. We were marked with the Spirit. We're given a tattoo. A tattoo that says you belong to Christ. Every week when you come to church, you see a pastor make a sign of a cross at the absolution, after the Lord's Supper, at the benediction, to remind you that the Holy Spirit, that God Himself lives in you. But He is also a deposit for us. Earnest money, telling us that everything about heaven belongs to us now. Our future glory is assured. God's presence among us is certain. Paul was so convinced of this that it filled him with unrestrained joy at a time when you think he would have been in the doldrums. His focus went from himself to his God, from guilt to grace. It gave him joy and purpose and powerful living to praise his God. And we are confronted with the question then, what about us? How do we live each day? Like a hymn of praise or like a funeral dirge? Like a doxology of blessing or a melancholy melody of doubt and depression and desperation? How do we wake up each morning with a song of praise on our lips, a desire to serve our God, or with a lament blaming God for a miserable life? William Cowper went on to become a great hymn writer, and you're going to sing one of his hymns during the communion service. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. His ways, he says, are higher than our ways. From beginning to end, God planned, God established, and God secured our salvation and gave us blessings which cannot be measured on this life. And he did it all with purpose. God's amazing grace leaves no room for luck. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? And isn't it a marvel to know that this is the message that you can take and share with the whole world because Jesus died for all people? Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. May God's amazing grace always help us to see those blessings day in, day out. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.